Welcome, everybody, to the June 6th Aries Bifold User Group Community Meeting. This is a Hyperledger community meeting, so the code of conduct and antitrust policies are in effect. You can see them on my screen, so have a read through if you feel you need to. Otherwise, my name is Jason, and I'll be your host today. Let's get started with the topic. So we'll talk a little bit about what we're up to with Bifold, some planned work, discuss some open PRs, and you know, some general conversation around Bifold. So feel free to chime in anytime if you've got questions or concerns. Feel free to add yourself as an attendee. I've pasted the link in the chat so that you can find it easy enough. Video, so you can see me. There I am. If anybody wants to introduce themselves, feel free. If you're new to Bifold, new to the community, new to setting this up for something cool, please chime in and tell us what you're doing, who you are, where you are, anything.
Hello, everyone. So let me introduce myself briefly. My name is Renata, and I'm working on DSR Corporation. So today, I understand that we have huge enough planned topics, but me, Alexander Oshenshin MP, prepared some testing results of Bifold to be used it in our application, and it's about five, maybe 10, but a bit 5 minutes presentation, so we will be happy to show it if we have time today.
Jason, sorry, you're muted.
What was the present? Thanks. Well, thanks for introducing yourself, Renata. Welcome. What was the presentation you were talking about?
So we have a short presentation that we want to show you on this call, if possible.
Sure.
10 minutes.
What's it about?
Results. Go ahead, Alexander. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. So this is a presentation about Bifold testing results from our QA department, because we're working on a project and using Aries Bifold. So we recently had some good testing sessions with our QAs, and we have a list of results for Aries Bifold UI.
Cool. Thanks. All right. We'll pencil that in towards the end of the meeting. Okay. Great. Exciting. Okay, moving on. Announcements. AFJ was released, so that's a big deal. The team at Animo have been working on that pretty hard for a long time now. Finally got it across the finish line. It's a big change. It gets sort of indie SDK and moves to indie VDR and non-creds RS. I think there's one more REST package in there. So we're trying to rally around these common components rather than anybody who knows a particular language re-implementing everything from scratch. Trying to write it in Rust because it's fairly compatible with other platforms. You can cross-compile it and wrap it. So a lot of work's been putting into those common shared components, I believe is how it's referred to. And yeah, so AFJ 040 moves to that and deprecates indie SDK. So huge thanks to our friends at Animo for doing that. I've got another note down below to talk about what that means for Bifold. So when we get there, we'll get there. Okay, what's been going on in Bifold over the last 2 weeks? So we did a lot of work, and by we, I mean the BC dev team. There's been some contributions from other people, which is greatly appreciated. But here in BC, we focused on making, ironing out a lot of accessibility issues to make the accessibility functionality, that is screen readers and voice control, work a lot better and display a lot better, so it's more usable. So that's what's been going into it. I don't think a lot of new features went in, so it's same old Bifold that was here 2 weeks ago, just better and stronger. Moving down the agenda, we did get all the PRs merged that we need for NPM publishing. We are trying to get hold of somebody from Indicio. James registered the NPM packages, but forgot to add the Hyperledger. I don't know if they're users or accounts. Let's call them accounts, so that we can use the same publishing mechanics that AFJ uses. But we're having a little bit of trouble getting there, but I'm sure if we keep negging, we will get some traction on that issue.
I'll continue to stick some pressure there, Jason. Sorry, we haven't made it happen yet.
Yep. No worries. So, Sam, thanks. I didn't know you were on the call.
I snuck in when you weren't looking.
In the Bifold chat, Rai has suggested the two accounts that should be added so we can have the same access that people have for AFJ. I've never published a module with Hyperledger before, but I guess Rai knows what he's doing, so I'll trust his suggestion. He's put them in the Bifold kind of up a little bit when we were chatting about it. So thanks, Sam. Moving on. Oh, yeah. So once that's finished, we'll be able to publish the Bifold as a module and the OCA package so that can be used outside of Bifold. And I think that's the one most people are chomping at the bit for, OCA. And that's branding of credentials so that an issuer can make a credential look and feel the way they think it should look and feel. AFJ 040 in. Feel free to chime in if anybody's got any comments along the way here. Don't let me just rant on, but AFJ 040. So that PR has been open for a while and it's looking really good. I gave it a test tomorrow and it looks like it's at parity with AFJ 03. I think it's 3.3 and it works quite well. There was one issue with upgrading the wallets. So if you start off with a 0.3.3 wallet, then you switch to 0.4.0, my PIN wasn't working. So I moved that PR back to draft just to give Timo and his team a little bit of time to review that. I think it's important that it's forward compatible, that it upgrades the wallets, and he can just take a quick look at that. So hopefully that one gets merged soon. It, like I said, it worked as expected, and it went through, I think, one of the maintainers, Mustafa, had a look through the code and it passed his muster. So I think it's pretty close. We just need to get that one thing fixed and then we'll merge that one in. So if anybody's chomping at the bit for that one, I think it's going to be soon. It is a pretty big change. I'm hoping we can get another release out the door soon so that we can let that one soak in for a little while. A lot of things change under the hood and there might be some edge cases we're not aware of. So we want to get that one merged in and then sit on it for a couple of weeks so we can just give it a thorough test. All developers using it all day, every day should shake out all the bugs. And there was somebody who chimed in. I forget, but in the Bifold group, where you can find us all if you want to chat with us out of this meeting. The Bifold Discord channel is the place to find us. You can find a link to that in the Hyperledger README or developer docs. I'm pretty sure it's the README, so how you can join and how you can become part of the community. Find us all in there. She was talking about working on a feature to add issuer support to Bifold, so I thought that was pretty interesting. I think she had an interesting use case for it, and I will write up a ticket so that we can track it and then probably add that one under developer feature for now, because I don't know that everybody needs to issue things there or how issue credentials from Bifold or where that should go and how it should look in the app. So if we add it as a developer feature, everybody can experiment with it and try to work it in as they see fit. Alberto, you got your question, your hand up.
Yeah. Hey, Jason. Hey, everyone. Yeah. Can we add to the agenda maybe to talk about how we can do backup of credentials with high assurance? Just quickly, so I know there's no direct solution to it. I just want to follow up on some things I've been asking you on the Discord channel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm going to, back to the issuer, I'm going to create a ticket for that. And then you'll probably find that conversation in the thread or in Discord if you want to follow along, if that's something you're interested in. So contributions, welcome. Thanks to, I hope I'm pronouncing your name properly, it's Farah, I think, for tackling that issue. Okay, backup and restore. We have been having a bit of a conversation in Discord about some of the challenges of backup and restore. I think that if I'm summarizing the conversation correctly, you know, people would like to be able to back this up. And I think users would like to have their credentials backed up in a way that if they switch devices, if you drop it in the drink, you can restore your credentials. You don't have to go through the pomp and circumstance of going to each issuer and re-getting your credentials back, which can be a hassle as you grow your credential library. But there's some challenges with certain credentials, and that has to do with their assurance level. Like some credentials with a high assurance level, you can't have duplicates of them ever running. So if you were to ever back up your wallet, you could never have it in a situation where you could restore it in a second device and then have two copies of your credentials running. So high assurance credentials, that's not okay. But other credentials, that is okay. And I think it was Sam who chimed in at the last meeting and said, one possible workaround for that was to leave a tombstone behind, which is a marker that allows you to quickly get those high assurance credentials back, but still having the backup feat functionality in there might not make it a air quotes. And if anybody knows more about what it means to be high assurance, feel free to chime in, but it might make the wallet less of a high assurance place to put it. So Alberto, you had more questions around this subject, so feel free to fire away.
Yeah. Can I ask that now, or should we wait?
Yeah,
for
go
the
for
rest?
It.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think Sam's here. I'm just wondering the technical aspects of how can this be done, and what do you refer to as tombstone? I know AFJ provides some sort of features to back up and import credentials, and I've seen some other wallets do that. So I don't think that'd be too much of an issue from a technical perspective. I know you, Jason, mentioned having some sort of foundation credential. And I'm just throwing some ideas out there, right? And I'm not sure we currently do this, but do we bind the VCs with the biometrics on Bifold? And can that serve as some sort of foundational credential and use that as kind of a, like, to authenticate the user? I know we can authenticate an app, right, through attestation, I think you called it. And I went through that yesterday, but I'm just wondering how we can validate whether that user is the real holder of that credential, right? So I'm just kind of want to throw some, you know, that idea out there, and just if you, Jason, know a little bit more, or if Sam knows a little bit more, what's the first steps to take to actually create, you know, this tombstone and get past issuing? Because I know I took one of the courses on Hyperledger at the very beginning, and I saw there was even something called Encrypted Data Vault, but I'm not sure if that's even a thing anymore.
I'm not
sure where that's going.
I'll let Sam take the wheel here, because he's the one who brought it up last meeting. So go ahead, Sam.
Right.
Okay, so there's a couple things that I think I might be able to offer some help on. The downside is that there isn't a Shiny package ready to just use. That's the downside. So some assembly required, and by some, I mean a lot at this point. So there's a couple of peripheral things. Jason, you mentioned high assurance. And high assurance generally means that the credential is bound to something that cannot leave the device. So it either uses a key or is bound to a key that that is present in hardware on the device. And of course, you can't extract the private keys of hardware. And that's generally what they mean by high assurance. And I need to point to the work of Paul Bastian and others in there for working out ways of binding credentials that don't use keys that are in the hardware device, but are bound to a key that is on the hardware device. And he's done some work on that and continues to, that turns out to be an important thing for like EITIS 2 type 1 credentials. And that's the personal identification credentials, and they really want that to be bound in some way, but they're a little bit inspecific as to how that's going. I am leaning on the wisdom of Paul here. He's been working on this for a while with the EITIS 2 stuff in mind. But what that basically means is that the credential is actually issued from The credential is issued in the knowledge of one of those keys that the device has, meaning it's known at the time of issuance, and then at the time of presentation, you're required to prove ownership of the of that key still, which prevents you from taking a backup or the data that's on one device, moving it to a totally separate device maliciously, and then presenting it as your own credential. Because you can't actually, you know, of course, extract the key from the hardware device. The downside of this, of course, is that's exactly what backup and restore looks like for a non-malicious use case. And so it's unfortunate that the alignment between the a good desired behavior, like, hey, I'd like to backup and restore my stuff, is it looks exactly the same as what it would be if someone was sort of being an evil Alice, if you will, and then sharing credentials that Alice had been issued with other people so they could present it as theirs. So the tombstone idea is that you could contain enough information about the credential itself that would enable you to get and tombstone may be the wrong word. Tombstone usually represents a deleted record. But in this case, the record isn't necessarily deleted. It just isn't useful anymore. And if you had that information, of course, you would the idea is that you could pass enough information along there that you could guide the user through a less bad UX experience to get that credential reissued on their new device, assuming they dropped their old one in the drink or bought a new phone or, you know, and reset the other one or whatever. And that would and so that's the idea. But there's that's just an idea at this phase. The whole idea that there's credentials you shouldn't be able to back up is a new enough one that there hasn't been work to really make that happen from any kind of a code perspective that I'm aware of. But it has been generally acknowledged that well-behaved agents should respect the types of wishes for issued credentials that, like, you shouldn't be able to move them to device to device. But I like the idea of passing along some sort of information that can sort of bootstrap the user into regaining those things and is not left just entirely in the lurch. So the good news is there's plenty of room for development there and in the wisdom of the particular problem that you have. The bad news is there's a lot of work required. The last thing that I'll mention that relates to this is some very, very early work that started two IIWs ago and is still on work item at the DIF. In their claims and credential working group called Universal Wallet Backup Containers. And it doesn't directly solve the problem, but it's hopefully a step in the right direction. And the idea is that if we standardize a way of creating backups in a sort of a standardized bundle format for the types of information that could be in them, then it would be easier to develop sort of universal import export on top of that as a platform. And so what the Universal Wallet Backup Container would be is some standardized metadata inside of a file, a way to compress the file, and a way to encrypt the file such that that you could you know, safely export it and not have it just be a massive vulnerability. You know, it's not like exported in plain text or anything. And then and that would provide two things. One is that it would provide the people that needed to be specific about the types of backup formats, something that they could develop without having to worry about the sort of the bundling and the encryption aspect. And second, it would provide hopefully a standard enough UX from the application perspective that they would be able to import and export those files. And then, of course, the applications would be able to, you know, having been provided the decryption key, would be able to look inside at the manifest file and then discover which of the possible information is usable by the consuming application. That gets a little bit complicated because not all wallets will have all features. For example, you may have a wallet that does identity but not crypto, or one that does crypto or not identity, or one that does both. And the idea was that the backup container could work with all of those things, but of course would only support the data that was actually exportable by a wallet or importable by a wallet. But that there'd be a relatively standard container that could be moved around and managed in that way. So that is not ready to use, but if you are interested in it, then that work item could appreciate your attention. I'm lightly involved there, trying to move it along as fast as I can. And there was initially a bunch of interest, and then everyone got busy the way things work. And so trying to sort of work that out. I'm in the phase of of trying code demonstrations to see how this practically works the way that we imagine it, and to gain some practical experience with the approach before I continue on too much further. And so when, you know, with the spec writing itself. Anyway, that's kind of all that I know on this issue, which is frightfully less probably than you were hoping for, but hopefully some of what I relayed was useful, and you will be able to make some use of that. Any questions or clarifications that I can add?
No, no. And thank you for the response. And I think Jason had already kind of told me that there wasn't any direct technical solution yet. But I do appreciate your answer, Sam. I think the company I work for and the team that we have right now is very interested in, you know, trying to make contributions to this. So can you point me to where I can, you know, interact with the community, like on this aspect, like, and share with me any information, like even if it's like a something very early, maybe just some diagrams, just anything you can point me to, so I can you know, take a look at it and just share with my team, and we can and I can touch base with you later.
Yeah, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. I apologize, I don't have more information or more stuff that's been done in this manner. I pasted in the Zoom chat a link to the Universal Wall Backup Containers repository. So that's where to get involved from that aspect, but that's not, again, not all the way down to the details. It's only one piece of the puzzle. And then I'm actually relatively unaware of any like extensive writings or diagrams or anything else that has been created on this topic, just discussions that I've had. And that's sort of where the stuff in my brain is, but nothing really has been serialized down in that manner.
Yeah. And how, I mean, I know it's just this one piece of the whole kind of SSI ecosystem. But for example, that's something we think our end users may ask. And I think we've been asked that before, but in your opinion, Sam, is this a big piece to this whole SSI ecosystem?
So that's probably the right question. There's two prevailing opinions. One is that we definitely need to make sure that backup and restore is a thing, and the other prevailing opinion is that because of the sensitivity of most of these credentials, at least that we're initially going to be working at, they have to be reissued anyway, and so. This is a little bit of a lazy answer, but it basically means that if you already have the process of having a user backup something that simply helps them regain the credentials is not that different from a UX perspective, the argument goes, than actually just requiring them to reinstall and get reissued anything. And that's all. It's a lot less work if you just don't support backup and restore, and then the user just has to go restart everything. So the thing that I think is vital is that the user is provided instructions on what to do in the event that they move devices or that they lose one or whatever. And even if those instructions include like come back and we'll go through the reissuance process again, I think that for a really polished stable ecosystem that involves users having wallets and doing intelligent things with them. And I always keep my mother in mind because she is earnestly trying to do the right things from a technology perspective. But also she's my mother. And so she's a lot less interested in, of course, the technical details of how that works. She just wants to know what good behaviors are. So I think this will eventually become something rather important. But right now the predominant approach is just to require everyone to sort of start over from scratch because of the complicated nature of the issues involved. Well, one of the things that doesn't satisfy me from the start over from scratch perspective is that that's maybe fine for credentials that you are issued and then want to present. It doesn't do anything for the connections that you have actually made with people that may not be issuers or verifiers. And so if you have interest in sort of peer-to-peer messaging or communication issues between folks that is not necessarily credential-based, then the current, well, just start over from scratch is a really terrible answer. Imagine getting a new phone and not being able to like bring all your phone numbers in. And that's kind of the equivalent. And so I think that the need for non-credential based backup is actually going to drive backups faster. Now I'm heavily like reading the tea leaves here, right? So please accept this with a very, very large grain of salt. But I think that the need to backup and restore non-credential based activities is actually going to drive the adoption of backup much faster than the backup and restore of credentials will.
Okay, got it. All right. Well, thank you for the very complete answer, Sam. I'll definitely, what's the best way to reach you? Discord? Is Discord fine?
Yeah, Discord's good.
Okay, perfect. All right,
or,
thank you, Sam.
Or Twitter, I'm Telegram Sam there.
Okay, all right.
GitHub.
Perfect.
Smoke signals, carrier pigeons.
Nice. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah, perfect. If anybody's got a link to that, I think there's a document that describes different credential assurance levels, what that actually means. If anybody's got a link for paste in the chat, that would be great. Okay, so we put that issue behind us and move on to Alexander's presentation. Or yeah, was sure. It one of your team members? Renata, was yeah, it you that was going to do it?
It will be me, Alexander, yeah. So let me share my screen.
Can you do it or do I need to do some?
I cannot start screen share while other participant is sharing. Yeah.
Take it
Thanks.
Away.
So
I don't think am I still muted here? I think a lot of people in the call won't know you or DSR. Do you guys want to do a little intro just to the community here?
Let me make some intro.
Renata, maybe you will be better.
So we are a source company. We were working with SSI, I believe, from the start, I want to say, mostly in ERS sphere. So we are experienced in maintaining Hyperledger Indy, and after this, we were authors of a lot of RFCs. So right now we are working with products connected with areas from work JavaScript, areas from work Go, and Bifold. And of course, we want to improve these products, not only use them, and hope not only create issues, but also contribute more in the near time. You're muted, sorry. So I believe that's it. So in this presentation, we have contacts, and we'll be happy to work together to discuss anything. Or maybe you have or we have some ideas on collaboration work. So we'll be happy to be in contact.
Thanks so much, Renata. Take it away, Alexander.
Okay, yeah, let's get started. So here's our presentation with bifold test results. And we have an agenda. So first of all, we'll talk about why were we testing, and then what were we testing. I also have some short summary of our results, and we will talk finally about next steps from our side. So why were we testing? So we have a project where we develop a mobile app based on ERS Bifold. And here you can see two screenshots. We have two significant points here. So we want to customize the UI. As you can see, we have some custom theme, this nice background and so on. And another good point is that we want to create an app that combines SSI functionality and functionality with crypto token transfers. So we have an integration with Kepler Wallet inside one app based on ERS Bifold. So here is our application, and we had a good testing sessions done by our QA department. So what were we testing? Here we have some results for ERS Bifold screens. I want to note that we're actually using a branch with shared components integration. No, not the latest version. So we haven't migrated to AFJ 040 yet, but the previous working version is here. So some UI fixes were not included in our testing, but it's not too old version anyway. A really recent one. So here we have testing results, for example, for registration screen. And we have some test cases, and we have bugs described internally here, but just that you can see them. So, yeah, the next one is onboarding, actually. User guideline, here everything is good. Onboarding, the other screens, create pin, biometrics, terms and conditions that include Daenerys by default. Home screen, no bugs here. Yeah, we'll just do a quick overview because we have a lot of slides here and we don't have too much time. Then credential offer screens in Flow. We have a number of bugs here that we found. So these particular test cases are from iOS run mainly, but some bugs also labeled to be reproducible on Android platform. So decline credential, everything is good. Proof request, we have some bugs here with share button, decline proof. Also box with buttons and edge cases, so notification, everything is good. Scan screen. Yeah, we had some issue here. Settings, everything is fine. Contacts, a couple of bugs here with scrolling on iOS. And similar, what are contacts screen? So basically we have some enhancement here also, but most are the bugs. Biometric screen. Yeah, we had this really major issue with pin code input. Language screen, everything is fine. So credentials, here are two slides. First one with events, the next one will be with inputs, I believe. So problems with scrolling on iOS. And yeah, not inputs fields. Here everything is fine except for... yeah, for broken layout. So this is really a short summary. Sorry. So the short results here, we can say that we found more than 20 bugs in total. And as I mentioned, we don't have the latest version of Bifold. It's just the one of the recents. So we need to double check with most recent fixes, actually, to check if all these bugs are relevant. And most significant bugs are related to login pin input. So it was possible to enter the wrong pin, but basically it's a bug of the input. It just, from user perspective, user can delete the pin code and just click submit and pass the login screen or unlock the wallet and so on. And other significant issues were related to error handling and edge cases in referral credentials flow. For example, resync messages from deleted contact. I mean, from user perspective. And the next steps from our side. So we will do bugs classification by community and internal products to really get a list of bugs that we want to contribute to fixes that we want to contribute to errors by default. We will double check existing GitHub issues and create new if some are missing. And we will have help with fixes here. So that's it. A really short presentation. Does anybody have any questions?
That looks great. Just thanks so much for testing it. Did you manually test it, or did you guys, you all do automation testing?
No, these were manual tests by QA engineers. Oh, this, sir.
Alberto?
No, yeah, no, this is very good actually for us as well. We're actually going through some, gonna do some testing ourselves actually. So this is some good insight. And I was gonna ask the same question if there was any framework to use specifically. And I'm not sure you guys know about the mobile test hardness that Hyperledger also offers. We're actually basing it on that same open source repo. I don't know if you guys heard of it. It has some scripts maybe you can reuse or even consider looking into.
Thanks. Yeah, that's a good point.
I think that's written by one of our team members, or at least partially maintained by Shell, who does a lot of automated testing on the wallet. So it'll go through a build. Like he tests nightly on our latest build and has a bunch of automated tests that will run against it. I would, once I think, Alexander, you're going to retest against a more modern version of Bifold just to make sure that the errors haven't been already fixed. But
yeah,
I'd love to get a copy of your results when you're done so I can make sure that we've got them tracked in the issues so that, you know, either you or us or whoever feels like tackling some of those issues can do it. It's really appreciated.
Yeah. So we will make sure that we created all GitHub issues for problems that were not fixed in newer versions. And yeah, in case if there are no created issue yet.
How old was the version that you tested? Do you have a reference commit ID or anything like that? Time frame?
Yeah. So it's actually a branch with shared components integration just before last week, I believe. So before errors from okay. JavaScript 0.0, yeah.
Okay.
So that's it.
All right, I will steal the screen back. Sorry, everybody, I can't find my screen now to share. Okay, great. Rip it along here. I'm going to just re-mention this one because it's somewhat of an important issue. But so every Wednesday, there is a Aries community call. And during that call, some people have broached the subject of moving Aries to the Open Wallet Foundation. So if you're new to that subject, the last two meetings, I believe the recordings are available and you should have a listen to those, especially if you're involved in the Aries community. And I think in Aries, Timo did a good summary of the conversation so far, and Sam's got some excellent comments added to that. So that's a good place to like maybe focus your thoughts if you've got some feedback or join the meetings. But I'll just give a minute if anybody's got any, like anybody from the Bifold community has feelings or thoughts on what it would look like or an opinion on Bifold moving to OWF, because we are one project who has a voice in that community. So constructive comments will not be taken lightly. So if anybody has any thoughts, feel free to chime in or chime in about anything. All right. So the idea there was just Maybe I think it was Hyperledger has been somewhat focused on like blockchain technology, and maybe Aries, we're not overly restricted to blockchain anymore. I think even, some work done by Timo in making other backends available with AFJ, make Bifold, not necessarily behooven to a blockchain. So moving to the OWF might give some breathing room and allow focusing on like what we can do for people more than some of the, being tied to a particular data structure under the hood. But there are some challenges there. They're fairly new. I think this is new to them. Like it's a new team. The Open Wallet Foundation's a new team. They've got maybe funding issues to sort out. Hyperledger is well established, and they've got a good team who know how to create community and support open source projects. So, there's definitely some pros and cons. So if you've got a got some skin in the game, feel free to listen to those two Aries calls. Join the next ones to hear live updates, and check out that GitHub issue that Timo created that summarizes the conversation. So I think, somebody already added that.
I dropped Timo's link in the Zoom chat.
Oh, perfect. Thanks. Okay, so we've kind of come to the end of the agenda. We can freestyle a little bit if anybody's got some questions. There's a good
Just to
group of
tag
people.
onto the just tag onto the OWF thing. Tomorrow's Aries call, we have official sort of presentation-ish from the Open Wallet Foundation folks in the Aries call tomorrow morning. So that will happen.
Perfect.
We're
Well,
not, we don't yet have anything to like consider or vote on. And so that's likely going to follow. We've had enough, I think we've had a reasonable amount of conversation. And so that's probably going to be kind of where we end up and to talk about what to do next.
perfect. I can throw my unique opinion, which has nothing to do with any of the projects teams I represent, but I did think that the one project that should probably move is Bifold because of, hey, it's a wallet, right? And the Open Wallet Foundation is a wallet. But I think sometimes the word wallet can be a little bit overloaded in the community because every agent technically has a wallet. I'm air quoting there, but for secure storage, I'd probably call it secure storage. But I always think of when you say wallet, you mean like the human facing thing. So all the European states have a mandate to do a digital credential system, aka a wallet, and get digital credentials into the hands of their citizens. And that's up to each state how they get that done, as long as they're compatible with the the rules and regulations. But when you say wallet, it does mean like what it means to be a human. We don't often think of, when we do a file transfer, we don't necessarily think TCP or UDP, like how did the file transfer? Some details are under the hood. They're critical infrastructure. They're absolutely important. But to Sam's mom probably doesn't care that it travels over UDP or TCP. She just cares that the file gets from A to B. And I think if the wallet, similarly, it's meant as a human facing experience. So it seems like a good fit for Bifold because we're a wallet, they're a wallet foundation. If their mandate is, a citizen-facing experience, and to get something in the hands of all the, that maybe EU states can piggyback on or at least look at as a reference, then it might be a good fit to actually make this a more human usable experience. So it's my personal experience thought on it, but there are some under the hood administrative details which are concerning, like got to be funded and know how to run GitHub and get some other stuff done. So that's my thought.
I partially agree with you. The only comment that I'll make, and Sam, correct if I'm wrong, I think the Open Wallet Foundation is not actually about the wallet as an end user interface or the user interaction. It's about a engine framework library, whatever you want to call it. They call it engine, an open wallet engine that is to enable providers and anybody who can create a wallet in an easy way. Or provide an app with wallet features in an easy way. Talk about maybe your home automation app that would have kind of a wallet behind the scenes. So that's one of the questions that I'm not entirely sure if the Open Wallet Foundation is actually going to use the word care about the user interactions. They care about the interoperability and the bootstrapping of that ecosystem, but not necessarily opinionated about the user interaction, because that could lead to a whole bunch of other problems and opinions about it. Anyway, maybe Sam, you can have anything else.
So they're definitely loudest about building blocks for wallets. So ironically, despite the name difference, I think the closest match might be shared components like Askar, would be the most likely to fit well.
I'll say AFJ seems like a good fit as it brings everything together.
Yeah, that's not a bad one either. The UI aspect of things, which is of course why we're here in Bifold, is a little bit squishier in the sense that they don't mind UI components, but they're pretty determined to not like ship an app, and so it's a little bit indeterminate whether the idea that you have something that you could just download and run in an emulator would actually fit within their vision. And it may. I don't. There's not obvious signs that it wouldn't. But definitely, what they're most seem to be most interested in is sort of the underlying components, which I think, to Klesio's point, involves both the shared component side of things and and sort of the underlying engine, if you will, which in this case is AFJ. It's a really complicated issue in my mind, and one of them is that I've heard from a number of people just in the last week, not only then, but the one of the reasons why they came to Aries was that Aries was one of the few projects that actually had like a what I'm going to call a full stack solution, meaning it goes all the way from the libraries all the way up generally, and maybe a little bit more obviously in something of like AFJ as a cloud agent or AkaPy, but also Bifold. It goes all the way instead of saying, well, we're only going to do like one of these components here, and that like full stack approach has borne some criticism about people being upset that it isn't just separate components that they can use independently, though mostly they can. It's a misperception, but I worry a little bit that the momentum that we have as an Aries community that sort of ties us all together is less sure in an environment like that, or in an environment more specifically where some things could go and some things could stay. I think, and th this is also an interesting thing. It's been argued that maybe the Aries brand and the fact that it is something that works all the way up and down is a great thing. It's also been argued that it's a bad thing because of the misperceptions around what Aries actually is. We had a really great conversation about wallet versus agent last week, as a little bit peripheral to the conversation, but very much relevant to the overall larger concept. And the discussion landed somewhere I didn't expect, which was more or less that like the actual term is less important. The from a user adoption understanding perspective, from the consumer facing side, it doesn't matter a lot. And while it certainly has sort of a better adoption or understanding from a personal side than agent does. Although on the business side of things, agent actually seems to resonate a little bit more. There was also acknowledgement in that discussion that the technical side actually needed more precise terms in the sense that like when we talk about what we mean by wallet or agent or something like that, then that's really specific too. The last relevant piece that I'll highlight there is that a large amount of the community seems to be incredibly VC focused, meaning anything that isn't VCs, they have zero interest in. And in the Aries community, it is generally more accepted to have things that are not strictly VC focused. I give you things like basic message and the question answer protocol, et cetera, that are don't really have anything to do with VCs, but definitely fall into sort of what the utility or the interest of an agent could be. And so one of the other interesting bits is that so far in the Open Wallet Foundation, I have we've seen very little of the non-interest in the non-VC aspects of it, while definitely in the Aries community we care about those non-VC, also VC interactions too, but also non-VC interactions. And so that's another thing that I don't think has been explicitly placed out of bounds for what could be present in the Open Wallet Foundation, but is also something that resonates a little bit less thoroughly with what they've talked about. Anyway, that was super long-winded. I apologize, Glacio.
The way that I see is like, again, similar to Hyperledger, who hosts bifold code. They don't necessarily publish a wallet. They provide a reference wallet implementation, but it's up to whoever wallet providers or vendors if they want to patch it up and distribute them or not. Again, similar, the analogy that I use is the whole Java ecosystem where there are API specifications, the reference implementations. You can have a servlet implementation within your own vanilla Java language, or you can use something like Tomcat or anything outside that also provides an implementation of that API. So that's how I see it. At some point, they need something to tie everything together from a test and integration test perspective. You'd be nice if that is a product, a wallet, a reference implementation as well.
They have been relatively, and this is something that could come up tomorrow. They've been relatively unopinionated so far, at least I haven't said anything about whether a reference implementation would have a home there or only the library components themselves. And so I don't think that's going to be a major issue, but it's one of those things that's a little less clear given the stuff they've published so far.
It would be weird to be, I mean, I think we'd go wherever Aries goes because we're part of it. And I feel like we're part of that community. So, and sometimes whatever Hyperledger does in the background doesn't really affect what we do day to day or what Timo does day to day. So, but it would be weird to move as bifold to be like some, like wouldn't the term unwanted is maybe strong, but like, they really have no interest in bifold, but we move because the community moved, but we're just kind of like this thing on the side, which doesn't really match with what their goals are. Puts it in a bit of an awkward space because we would be there, but somewhat unwanted.
Well, I definitely believe that most of Bifold they would probably be interested in, probably. But there's some aspects that the directions we've taken as a community here that may not land quite as well. And I think that they're willing to be flexible. What I'm less worried about, or what I'm maybe more worried about, is not what they're willing to accept, and then what they're willing to kind of promote or succeed. Hyperledger has been relatively unbiased in the our efforts that they've been willing to promote in terms of training and visibility at Global Forum and things like that. And so it's not that I think that they wouldn't accept it. I think they would likely accept anything that we said, hey, we want to bring this too. I think the larger danger is that the overall community doesn't really like that as a direction. And so we are a little bit less supported in some aspects of what we're pursuing. And it's a little hard because there's no way this can be anything but hypothetical. We can't like try this in the sense that we like try it and then just trivially roll it back if it isn't. It's a relatively large effort to move organizations. And so I think some caution is warranted there. The main concerns that folks seem to have are more around what you brought up earlier, Jason, which was the sort of the financial stability, long-term nature of this. I'm darn sure Hyperledger is going to be around in 3 years. I'm less confident that a new organization will be, and that's particularly in light of Trust Over IP is relatively young as an organization, in the sense that it's been around for 3 years, and their funding is not what they would like it to be. And so I worry that the same fate, for very similar reasons, could befall the Open Wallet Foundation, and that would be unfortunate if we've put a bunch of effort into moving, and then had that not happen. The other aspect is that Hyperledger themselves have mentioned not only are they involved in a larger branding effort for Hyperledger itself, but very interested and willing to assist the Aries community in brand work around Aries to correct some of the misperceptions that have existed around what it is or what the scope of it is or things it does or does not do. So the whole thing is complicated.
Sounds like it.
In my mind, there is not a clear answer, obvious winner here. And you're not, and the advantages and disadvantages are not super equitable. It's not like you could just do a math problem and figure this out. It'd be a lot easier if we could.
Okay, with that said, we will wrap up the meeting for today, and we'll see everybody in 2 weeks. If you're want to get hold of us in the meantime, go to the Hyperledger, sorry, the Aries Bifold repo, find the Discord links, join us in Discord. The channel is called Aries-Bifold. You'll find us all there, and see you in 2 weeks.
Thanks.
Hey, everyone.
Thanks. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.